Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a comment about something that we say on the program, whether favorable or not, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to consider and spend time studying on the program, please let us hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. In Romans 8, verse 15, we read, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." The word Abba is an Aramaic word that comes from a language that is commonly spoken of by children. Daddy and mommy, well, those are some of the first words that children learn to say. And such words are words that are meant to express a close, intimate relationship with no disrespect whatsoever. Eventually, older children come to employ Abba. And so this word becomes a warm, familiar, everyday family life word. Paul said, and what he says here is clear evidence that we have received the spirit of adoption. That is, our relationship to the Father is not one of fear, but rather it is one of trust and obedience. What deity, whether we're talking about the Father, whether the Son, or even the Holy Spirit, what deity makes people sons, not slaves? And Paul's language is the language of adoption. We see that when the Lord spoke to David about David's desire to build a house in Jerusalem, he said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, "I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men." You see, this is the language of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, we participate in David's promise of adoption. It's in Galatians 4, in verse 6 that we read, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The sending forth of the Spirit demonstrated that those in Galatians, were Christians. We know that the Holy Spirit seeks to create this relationship and this intimacy between us and the Father. We pray to God that this close relationship would be possible, and certainly our being children of God is possible. In fact, it is only possible when we receive the revelation of God's Word, which we know has been made known unto us through His Spirit in the written form that we have in the New Testament. In Mark 14 and verse 36, Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." We see in his anguish in the garden, Jesus cries to his Father. Jesus, as Isaiah prophesied, he was a man of sorrows, and being a man of sorrow, he sought the comfort and the solace of his father. And two, he looked to his friends for comfort, but he turned to them, we find on this occasion, three times, but only to find them sleeping. Seemingly, they had no encouragement to give. And what they were unable to do, the Father could do. The cup of suffering, it could not pass from Jesus, but he understood that strength could come from his Father. That close, intimate relationship Jesus had with the Father made it only natural that our Lord would cry, "Abba, Father." He willingly placed his will in the Father's will. See, "Abba, Father," that would be a motive for us as disciples today to carry the saving gospel into all of the world. In John 17, verse 15, Jesus said, in prayer to the Father, he said, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." When Jesus prayed for his disciples, he prayed not that they would be removed from the world in which they lived, but that they would receive the needed spiritual help and encouragement to survive in this world. Back up in verse 11 of John 17, Jesus said, "I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are." So the disciples of the Lord, they were in the world, but they were not to be like the world. And that's what we see in statement in John chapter 17, verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Just hours before Jesus was crucified, he sought to speak words of comfort to his apostles, who would be the ones that would be left behind to do the work of the setting up and the furthering of the kingdom. We see that it's interesting that Jesus told his apostles that they could not expect warm greetings from the world. He sought instead to strengthen their faith. They'd be persecuted, they'd be opposed, but they would not be left alone. But they thought so. In fact, think about it. Their entire lives had been centered around Jesus. They left tax booths, they left their fishing nets behind in order to follow Christ. And now their teacher was leaving, and their hearts were troubled. Yes, they had survived up to this point, except, of course, Judas, who was unfaithful, but would they be able to survive without Jesus? Their hearts were troubled in spite of what Jesus said to reassure them in John 14, verse 1, when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, the world that the disciples were left in is essentially the same world that you and I live in today. And it is this world that God loves. Who of us doesn't know John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, the truth of this well-known verse is reaffirmed throughout the Gospel of John. It was true in Jesus' day, it remains so today, that the world generally does not understand what the Father is trying to do through the Son. And yet, some claim to know about God's love, but yet they fail to commit themselves to what his word teaches. You know, even the Jews in Jesus' day argued with him about who their true father was. And Jesus reminded them that they did not have the faith of the one that were claiming to be their father, and that is Abraham. They did not even have the faith of Abraham, because if they had that kind of faith, they would have believed Jesus for who he claimed to be, and that is, he claimed to be the Christ, he claimed to be the Messiah, he claimed to be the Son of God. But they would not, for the most part, have anything to do with it. Why was Jesus wasting his time on a bunch of spiritual hardheads? Why did he bother at all? Well, it's because God loves the world. God loves those spiritually unwilling to yield Jews. God continues to love all people today. And it is that kind of world that you and I live in. It was that kind of world that the disciples of Jesus was left in and given charge with the responsibility of preaching the gospel to all that would listen. You see, to understand our place in this world is to begin to try to understand God's love for the world. Children of God are to be children of love. We need to be about the business of loving others as we follow the example of Christ. We need to make love understand that a part of that and a part of what love is making the truth known. That's God's love, is to show the world that he loves them enough to save them from those sins. And friends, we have that message today in the gospel, that we need to go forth being motivated by the same love that God had for this world, that we go forth and teach the gospel, the good news of salvation, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that Jesus was willing to give up heaven and come to this earth in human form, to experience all of the frailties of the flesh, to be tempted in every point, just like we are, but yet the one and the only that did not sin. And in no sinning, he became that one and only perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that God was willing to accept, that would be through his blood that we could have the forgiveness of our sins, sins of which we're all guilty. Romans 3, verse 23, and sin, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, is that which separates us from God. So we all sin, and in sinning, we separate ourselves from God. We need to be reconciled, and that word simply means to be brought back. We need to be brought back to God. The only way that can happen is to have our sins forgiven. What is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Sin is when we know to do good and yet do it not, as James tells us in James chapter 2. So it is then, being guilty of sin, we must understand we are separated from God. And if we die in that separated condition, we will remain eternally separated throughout eternity. It's only through faith in his word that comes from his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. To let that faith motivate us to obey. That's the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, but also Abraham believed God, and he obeyed God, and his works made his faith perfect. James tells us in James 2. Repent of our sins. Confess Christ with our mouth. Be buried with him in baptism, wherein we contact his blood that washes away our sin. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.